When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into on a Friday. We have a jam-packed show. We will have my sit-down conversation with UCLA head coach Deshaun Foster in segment two, so stick around for that. But it is Friday, so we're going to welcome in our main man from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Money Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing good, Arash. It's good to be back on a Friday. The weekend awaits us.
Exactly. Grant, I have to give you your flowers. I think, again, you're very familiar with the Dallas Mavericks. So when you told me yesterday, listen, I know everyone's talking about the Thunder and the Wolves. Let's pause. Let's hit the brakes on that. You like the Mavericks to really do what they did against the Clippers, you know, dropping game one. Didn't look all that great in game one, and they came back to tie up the series 1-1, heading back to Dallas. A, what did you think about the game? But also B, I mean, do you think that the Mavericks can do to the Thunder what they did to the Clippers, where, you know, basically, you know, tied up the series and found a way to close out in game six, I guess. Yeah, sure.
I mean, the Mavericks have the capability to beat this Oklahoma City team. I actually thought that they could be favored in this series. I know that Oklahoma just beat the Pelicans and they swept them, right? They had five straight wins coming in. But this Mavericks team, like I mentioned, like in round one, they beat the Clippers in game two. They lost game one. They looked way different in game two in round one. And they looked way different in game two in this round as well. I mean, they played with a defensive ferocity that we just did not see in game one. Luka and Kyrie, like Luka was hobbled a lot of the game, but he was very efficient. But him and Kyrie, they were just getting after it on the defensive end. And that's what I've seen from this Mavericks team. In their losses, their defense isn't intense. It's not aggressive. It's not pushing up on the offensive player. In their wins, they are very active. They are very active on the boards. They get into you on the offensive end. And look, they made it hard for Shea. I know Shea still got his, but they made it really hard for this Oklahoma City team to get anything easy. Like Chet Holmgren had an off night just because they were closing out very well. They were intimidated. They were harassing him down low as well. And that makes it really tough for a young, inexperienced team to get things going. And that's why in game one, everything opened up. Like Jalen Williams had open lanes. Everyone had open shots. And the Thunder just knocked them down in game one. In game two, it was much of the opposite. The Mavericks knocked down a lot of their shots. P.J. Washington had 29 points, Arash. Like, that's his career high, obviously his playoff career high, because he hasn't been in the playoffs too long. But 29 from a role player, and you have good games from Luka as well. Kyrie didn't even have to play that well on the offensive end, but what I saw from him on the defensive end, that might have been the best defense I've seen Kyrie play in a while. So when these guys are locked in on defense, they are such a hard out, and this is why a lot of people had them maybe going up against Denver if they were to meet in the Western Conference Finals, if had them going to the finals if they locked in and if they could get past the Clippers. So look, the Thunder are a very good basketball team, and I know they won five in a row coming in, but this Mavericks team, I mean, there's a reason why they beat the Clippers. There's a reason why they were 16-2 in their last 18 down the stretch. This is a very good basketball team. So this series is going to be fun. I think this series could probably be a 6 or 7 game series again for the Mavericks.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see about the Wolves and the Nuggets. Again, the Wolves taking a 2-0 series lead, winning the first two games in Denver, really could effectively kind of put this series away if they were to take a 3-0 lead. Again, no team in NBA history has come back from being down 3-0. The most surprising result from last night, Grant, was not only did the Cavaliers go into Boston and win, they blew out the Celtics in a 24-point win there to tie up the series and steal a home court going back to Cleveland. Again, the Celtics during the course of the season, the regular season, have had moments like this on their home court. That being said, they have been by far the best team in the East. They are the current Vegas favorite to win it all. For them to lose by 24 at home is surprising. What did you see in the game specifically, and what do you think about this series now?
Yeah, Evan Mobley really inserted himself. USC legend Evan Mobley really inserted himself into this game early, and that just gave the whole team life and confidence. I mean, coming out of college, I thought Evan Mobley could be like the next Tim Duncan type player, and he just hasn't lived up to that yet. He had a great rookie year, but after that, he really hasn't lived up to it. There's moments where you see it, and in this Celtics game too, I mean, it was really an Evan Mobley show on the defensive end, on the offensive end. And look, without Jared Allen, they're going to need as much as possible from him. And they got it in the end of that last series and in the beginning of this series. In game one, he wasn't really effective, but Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley work very well together. And Donovan Mitchell has been one of the best players in these playoffs. And it's kind of been underrated just because not a lot of people watched that Magic Cavs series. That was a 7-game series, and I loved it. But Donovan Mitchell was carrying that offense for the entirety of that series. Yeah. And he did it again against the Celtics team. The Celtics team, they lost game two at home in round one against the Heat, and the Heat just went nuclear from three-point range. In this one, it was more of the same. And I don't know if that's a concern for the Celtics or if it's just like, hey, you know, we're going to lose a few games here in each of these series. But you know, to do it on your home floor and get blown out like that twice now in the past, what, 2-3 weeks, to teams that are certainly inferior to you. I mean, I'm not expecting the Celtics to sweep everybody, but to lose like that twice. I mean, they got blown out by the Heat as well, and the Heat had no reason to be in that game in game two of the last series. For the Cavaliers, now you kind of stole home court. You're going back to Cleveland, a place that's going to be rocking, a place that, look, Cleveland fans hate the Celtics going back to the LeBron days. So this is going to be a very, very tough matchup for the Celtics. Look, we saw the Cavaliers beat the Celtics in the regular season. They came back from, I think, 20 or 22 down at home and beat the Celtics in the regular season. I know I didn't give the Cavaliers much of a chance in this series, but now that they evened it up and they're going back to Cleveland, I'm not going to say that they're going to win the series outright, but I'm just saying this could be a 6-game series if the Cavaliers can ride that momentum of getting Evan Mobley the ball, letting him dominate in the paint. Look, there's no Kristaps Porzingis. A lot of people forget about that. He's going to be out for the rest of this series and maybe even the conference finals if they get to that. So that's a big loss for the Celtics, and we saw it. I mean, you can't just delegate everybody to give the ball to Tatum and Brown all the time. Jason Tatum had an off game. Jrue Holiday had an off game. When you have two guys out of your top four that have bad games, even Derek White did not look as good as he did in game one. when you have that those types of performances, you're going to lose a game like that. So not having Kristaps Porzingis on the floor is a bigger issue than a lot of people are looking at it right now.
Yeah, big news on the coaching front. And again, this will happen as we progress not only in the playoffs, but go into the summer. Really, the Phoenix Suns must have known what direction that they wanted to go in when they fired Frank Vogel, because former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer will be hired as the Phoenix Suns head coach, or has been already, an 8-figure per year deal for the former champion. Again, the great thing about Mike is that he'll get you a top seed or a top two seed. It's been the postseason where he has generally struggled. However, he did win a championship with the Bucks in 2021. The question for you, Grant, is there a coach out there that can make this roster work? Again, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. That's a great trio. That being said, there was a lot of questions about the makeup of the roster. Again, top heavy, not a great defensive team. Is this a team that you think with a different coach can have success?
Look, I love Coach Bud, and I think that he's one of the better coaches in the league. I don't even know why he was fired after from the Bucks. I think it wasn't really his fault. There are a lot of things that went into it, and that's the thing with a lot of these coaches. And I'm going to say this right now, Frank Vogel did not deserve to be fired. It was not his fault that they didn't have a point guard. It was not his fault that they went all in on three guys with max contracts and they just didn't pan out. It's not his fault that the roster outside of those three was flawed. And it's going to be flawed again because they don't have much flexibility, Arash. They could get a veteran point guard on the minimum. I mean, they could maybe swing something, but you're going to lose more depth if you swing another trade. So right now, it is a dead spot. It is kind of, you're walking a fine line with that roster, and a coach, like, sure, you can instill another mentality into them. You can maybe run a little bit better of a defense with them, because look, Frank Vogel's always been a defensive first guy, and the Suns just never really had a good defense last year, and their offense was stagnant at times too. Coach Bud knows how to get together an offense. Like, that offense with Milwaukee was really good. It was a five out. It was like, a lot of people are clowning him for it. He said it was random, but I get what he was going with there. So the offense, I feel like, will be better at Rosh. I feel like they'll get Kevin Durant into his spots a lot more. Coach Bud was really good with getting Giannis into his spots and getting him where he needs to be, and kind of running that offense around Giannis. So I do agree with that sense, but if you don't improve the roster, it's probably going to be the same thing. And these guys are all injury prone. Like, these are two older guys, Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, that have had their injury issues. I don't think that a coach is going to change that. Now, if you want to say, like, okay, well, they were playing close with Minnesota. Minnesota's just so good. I mean, look, they're beating Denver. A lot of people are saying that right now. Maybe we got to give the Suns a little bit more credit. Yeah. They still got swept in the first round, and that's a team that should not have gotten swept in the first round. That's a team that a lot of people had championship aspirations for because of that big three. But, you know, maybe if we see what happens with Russell Westbrook in Los Angeles, maybe he could be available for the Suns. I think Russell Westbrook would be an excellent fit with the Phoenix Suns. Kind of everything they need: tenacity, ferociousness, energy, a point guard that can get Kevin Durant the ball. So look, I don't know if this coaching hire is going to make a difference. I love Coach Bud, like I've mentioned, but it's more the roster, Arash. And I feel bad for Frank Vogel, because two times he's been the scapegoat. Like, even with the Lakers, I feel like it wasn't really his fault. That roster was flawed, and now the same thing in Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that the run some of these championship coaches have had in terms of them losing their jobs. And again, thankfully they've been hired somewhere else. But, you know, you go back to, you know, Nick Nurse, 2019, 2020, Frank Vogel, 2021, Mike Budenholzer. It's like, this wasn't that long ago. And again, it's not going to happen. But, you know, to your point, Frank Vogel did an amazing job with that team in 2020. And we have to remember, you know, I mean, people want to talk about the bubble in Florida. Prior to the bubble, the Lakers were the number one seed. Prior to the bubble, the Lakers were the championship favorite. And so, you know, they played 70 games or something like that. I mean, it was the majority of the season, and it really continued during the postseason. So it's not going to happen, but, you know, in a different world where he's not painted with a certain brush. Like, you know, for Frank Vogel would make sense to come back to the Lakers, but that's not going to happen. We'll see if they hire JJ Redick or whoever else. But, you know, listen, ideally, they'd like to have Ty Lue. That's not going to happen. Ideally, they'd like to have Jason Kidd. That's not going to happen. So I'd be curious, who are some of the candidates there? I wanted to talk about...
So, Arash, before we move on, so you really don't... you think all bridges are burned between Frank Vogel and the Lakers?
I don't think they're burned, but I would be curious, you know... Listen, by the way, the way that they did him was not right. Again, I think Frank would be happy, and he's... By the way, he loves the South Bay, so we've seen him out here. Yeah. But... You know, the way that they fired him effectively, like, leaked it out prior to or during the last game of the season, and they didn't handle it well. I know that there's a lot of politics that go into who's going to be the next coach of this team. So, you know, if LeBron was fine with Frank Vogel losing his job a couple of years ago, like, I can't imagine. But again, the one thing that I always go back to, where I'm not saying there's a 0% chance. You know, Bill Parcells talked about this, and some other coaches. Like, there's a blood transfusion that takes place when you win a championship. So the connection that that group has, like LeBron and Anthony Davis and Frank Vogel, you know, that is a special bond. So that's why, like, I always thought, you know, like, as many of that team, they could get back together, which, again, it's not going to happen. Again, we're 4 years down the line. But, you know, Dwight Howard, and if Rajon Rondo wanted to be, like, an assistant with Vogel or whatever. I mean, the bond that team had when they began the season in China, the passing of Kobe, COVID, the bubble. I think that's why I was so so amazed and disappointed that they broke up that team. And again, we've talked about it before several times on the show. They had no chance of success in 2021. There was no offseason. It was the most basketball any professional has been required to play in a calendar year. It was ridiculous. You know, you go back to those four teams that played in the conference finals, none of them, not one, they either didn't make the postseason or were bounced in the first round or... you know, so there was no chance that team was going to succeed. And the fact that they took a sledgehammer to that team, traded Kuzma, traded KCP, didn't bring back certain players. It's like, no, like the best thing that team had was they were going to have a long summer. They were going to have a long summer. And I truly believe that they would have contended if they had brought that group back. Would have contended. We'll see. Again, I just don't think that there's a ton of candidates out there. You know, when JJ Redick, who's never coached a second of basketball collegiately or professionally, is the, like, odds-on favorite because he hosts a podcast with LeBron, it's a little odd. So we'll see how that plays out. The WNBA, Grant, would be remiss if we didn't touch on this big day. Again, they have... they have granted Toronto an expansion team, and that team will do extremely well. They packed the place for the last two preseasons, I believe, so they're going to fully support their team. But it comes at a perfect time where there are now finally chartered flights. Again, for years, during the course of a season, as travelers know, flights get delayed, flights get canceled, things like that. So the number of tweets that we've seen, like, over the past few years where teams are either stranded or were part of a canceled flight or required to play a game where they just got to the city a couple of hours before tip-off, thankfully those days are done. Your thoughts, Grant? Again, you had a unique tweet about, like what they've had to go through. I mean, this is the 25th or 26th season of the WNBA, and finally, they will have chartered flights.
That statement right there is just so past due. Like, that, I don't know why this hasn't happened already. And AJ Wilson actually had a funny Instagram post. She posted, like, the day after. She said, maybe that... did anybody read that article? Like, I'm still on a charter flight right now.
Well, not only that, I mean, she was leaving, like, they went to the White House yesterday, right? And so, like, on one hand, they're going to the White House to meet the president and the vice president, and they're not taking the charter flight there or back. They're on a commercial flight sitting in, you know, 22C. So, yeah.
I don't get that as a professional sports team in a league that's on the come up right now, growing and expanding. Like you just mentioned, Toronto's getting a new team with stars coming in right now with Caitlin Clark in the league and Angel Reese and all these great young women that are coming into the league. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, some of the stories that I've read over the past 10 years about how they're treated outside of the off the court. I mean, yeah. Even the hotel situation. Where they're rooming, what kinds of rooms they get. It's just not up to standard of what. And look, here's the thing, too, that I like to mention is that the NBA and WNBA are kind of like linked. They're almost, right? So if the NBA gets all these perks, and I understand that the money comes into it, if the NBA players get all these different perks and, you know, the best hotels, the best travel and all that, I feel like as the NBA or as that cohort, you should be able to do that for the WNBA as well. I mean, how much more is it really going to cost you to have these women fly on a chartered flight or have them fly on a private flight and have them stay at better hotels? I mean, when I was at Division I college, Arash, we stayed at really nice hotels because my coach was a former major league coach and he understood how good it was to have a nice hotel to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we get to this point to where now and finally in 2024 or whenever this will be enacted, because obviously AJ Wilson has not gotten to that point yet in the Aces. I just don't get how it's gotten to now they make that decision. And I feel so bad for these women because they're so talented and they're on a professional basketball team with hundreds of thousands of people watching them throughout the season, millions of people watching on TV, and they're just not getting the same treatment. I hope that this new wave of players and this new stardom that we're getting into the league kind of starts that and gets them back up to par with the NBA. Because I feel like it will. I feel like more eyes will be. We already seen, like, there's already sold out crowds for some of these preseason games for Caitlin Clark. There's going to be sold out crowds. They're moving arenas to supplement the crowds for some of these players. So I hope that it happens soon because it's getting kind of ridiculous to why they don't have that same standard.
Yeah, and there was no way that they can continue this with the TV money that's coming in, the millions of people now watching these games. Again, millions, not thousands, millions of people watching their games, to your point, packed arenas. These are superstars now, and thankfully times have changed. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, I had the pleasure of sitting down with new UCLA head football coach Deshaun Foster, one of my favorites. Again, watched him back in high school going up against Carson Palmer, UCLA legend. In the pros, he was amazing too. Had one of the longest touchdown runs in Super Bowl history. So when we come back, we'll talk to Deshaun Foster when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. As I mentioned in the last segment before we went to break, I got a chance to sit down with UCLA head football coach Deshaun Foster. What he's doing with that program is incredible. You can feel it. You walk through the facility. You walk through practice. They are just really pumped to have one of their own, a UCLA legend, a UCLA Hall of Famer, in Deshaun Foster back as the head coach. And so I just wanted to sit down with him and catch up, with what has it been like to come back to campus, come back to his alma mater, and what his plans are for this upcoming season. So without any further ado, here he is, UCLA head football coach, Deshaun Foster.
I wanted to talk to you about the journey to get here, you know, because and then now that I'm sitting here, like, I mean, obviously you remember this day very well, but when you look back on that moment for you, what did that mean? It was really the culmination of probably what you had hoped for when you got into coaching, and they asked you probably like what your dream job is. It had to be this. What was that day like for you?
Emotional.
Yeah.
You know, just... I'm not even a crier. Like, I don't cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was so just overwhelmed with emotion that just something, just a true dream come true, you know? Like, you always have those type of expectations and what you want to do, but you truly don't know if it's obtainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And yeah.
Especially at my university. So it was really just something that was like a true blessing, you know? Like, I was so overwhelmed with just joy and the support of everybody that was in that room, like just seeing the ex-athletes, my teammates that came that I hadn't seen in years, and the donors and just the school that all came by, and it was just amazing. But, you know, like you said, it was something that was, it's like it was built up like right where I started coaching. I was like, man, that'd be awesome if I was a head coach at UCLA.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of just talking, it's a little lip service at the beginning, but, you know, to really truly see when it's like, this is actually obtainable, that's when it got serious, and it was pretty.
Your first call was to your parents, and I wonder what that was like, because obviously you were probably with them when you told them that you're going to UCLA, and they saw, and then this journey. What was that phone call like? Because again, you were getting texts and calls, and that was had to be your first call.
Yeah, so everybody was at my house, my wife.
Okay.
It was the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So yeah, I remember getting off
like Super Bowl Sunday. Was,
yeah, this
wow,
Super Bowl,
okay,
this
past
Super Bowl. Yeah, so I remember getting the phone call from Martin,
mm-hmm.
and then like I was like motioning to my wife, like, come here.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to scream it out because there was other people at the house.
Yeah.
Once Martin called me, was like, hey, come over to the house after the game. I was like, wow, I think I have this job. My wife was just so ecstatic. She prayed for me, and then I told my parents, and you know, it was just, like you said, they were there when I committed to UCLA, and it was just crazy that they were there when UCLA extended an offer for me to be there.
Had you moved to Vegas yet? No, right? I mean, because it was like a week or something.
It was a week.
Yeah.
My flight was that next Monday.
Okay.
So the very next day, I was supposed to be flying out to Vegas.
When you made that decision, was it, I mean, because obviously there's different pathways to get to being a head coach. And I'd be curious, like Antonio Pierce was in a similar position in terms of, you know, not being a coordinator, not being a, you know, a head coach of a pro or even collegiate program. But then, like, it's like he connected with his players like you do. Why the decision to leave? I mean, we know why you came back, but why the decision to leave at that point?
It was an opportunity to support one of my friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, I turned down probably 11 other NFL jobs at that time.
Okay.
That was probably the 12th, but I just felt it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down.
Yeah.
You know? Antonio Pierce being a first-time head coach in the NFL, extending an offer for me to be the running back coach, I was just like, it's a no-brainer. You know?
So. How big is culture? Because what he did with that team and the way that the buy-in and bringing the alumni and I don't know if you'll be smoking cigars, but it really changed everything. Did you guys talk about that and what you're trying to do here, I guess?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he was doing exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it was almost like following his blueprint.
Yeah.
Low-key. You know, without even asking him about it.
Yeah.
Just kind of like filling him out and just seeing stuff. But, you know, I was very excited. You know, it was awesome that he got the job, and then I got it too. And you know, it was just because he actually told me, he was like, "You're gonna be the next head coach." He said that to me.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, "I don't know, bro. I'm not sure." You know, because it hadn't happened, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
But it was just like he saw something that he just knew, like, yeah, you're probably gonna be the next.
From afar, were you surprised that things were playing out the way they did? I mean, obviously you got the call to be the head coach, but like, I mean, you know, generally when coaching changes are made, it's like right after the season, sometimes even before the bowl game. Were you, I guess, how surprised were you that this was playing out the way it did?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it was at a different time.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Usually stuff isn't happening like that at that time. So the timing of it was what made it weird.
Yeah. The way the players embraced you, hard to not get chills. What was that moment like for you? I mean, it was really a very cool thing to see. I'm glad someone was there to capture it.
It was, you like you said, I'm glad somebody was able to capture it too, because you can't explain it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the number one thing people say to me when I meet them outside of here.
Yeah.
I saw the meeting when they introduced you, and the way that the players were, is just unbelievable.
Yeah. But
I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know how the offense felt about you, because I've been around.
Sure.
You know, but
yeah.
To see how the defense responded and how everybody ran down there, that was... just so surreal. Like, I couldn't have put it into words, but it was just, I was very glad, and it just made you feel good to know, like, wow, so yeah, people do see how I feel about them and how I value them, how I coach them, and they want me to be able to coach them also.
Yeah.
You know, other positions.
You've known for a while college sports is a business, and a part of that is, you know, coaches take on like that next job or they don't want to do things. I mean, this is a personal for you because you are a Bruin, you're in the Hall of Fame. I thought that was really important, is that this job means something to you. It's not a stepping stone. And I felt that in, like, the players, too. You know, when your coach leaves in the fashion that he did, it's like you're, like, kind of like you're kind of a kid in the world. Like, who wants? And it's like, I'm back, and we're going to do. How important was that for you? Like, this is your school, and we're going to bring this back.
Because I wanted to, just like you said, I wanted people to know, like, this isn't a stepping stone.
Yeah.
This is the final.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is it. If I'm not the coach here for the next 20 years, I didn't do it right.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not doing this to project myself somewhere else. I'm at the top of the game right here at UCLA.
Yeah.
At the school that I played for. You know, I bled out there on the field. I went to the classes. I did everything. You know, I'm a walking blueprint to these guys,
mm-hmm.
of what they want to obtain. Get your degree, play in the NFL. So, you know, I couldn't be more blessed to be in this position.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, you know, just take it head on and just enjoy it.
Yeah. People don't believe until you actually do something, but you started, I think, your fourth game at UCLA, first carry in the National Football League, went for 60-something yards. You still have one of the top five touchdown runs in Super Bowl history. What makes you believe, again, because there are people out there saying, oh, he's never been a head coach, like, you've done it, whether it's, you know, high school, college, pro, this is the next step. Well, where does that confidence come from that, like I haven't done it, but I know I can do it?
Just my self-confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I truly just believe in myself and believe in the process. I know people use that all the time, believe in the process.
But, yeah.
You know, the path is the path. I got into coaching, and then I didn't want anything handed to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to truly earn my way, you know? So I was an undergrad coach for 2 years. I GA'd the third year. I was player development the fourth year. Then I got Texas Tech running back job.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to get rid of the football mystique that they give you as an athlete, as a player, and truly be Deshaun Foster.
Yeah.
So I think I did a pretty good job in that, just developing my backs, getting them to the NFL, helping them reach their goal. And, you know, it's catapulted me into the head coaching job here in UCLA.
The lifeblood of any program is recruiting. And you were just talking to kids who are trying to decide what high school they're going to go to, so you're going to get them young. Why, like, you know how passionate that is. I mean, that is the lifeblood. And it seems like you are really, when I look at what you're going to do tomorrow and look at all the recruits who are here, how important is that, and what is your mindset going into that? Because, again, some coaches, it's not their cup of tea, which is fine, but it seems like you really realize you have to do this.
You name one Hall of Fame coach that didn't have Hall of Fame players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a player-driven league.
Yeah.
You got to have athletes. So I wanted to just make sure, like, you know, let everybody know that the times have changed here at UCLA. Come see it.
Mm-hmm.
Be a part of it. Come feel the energy that we have in practice, you know? I always read everybody's articles after practice to see who's really describing the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, because it's truly, like, it's epic out there.
Yeah.
And I want to see, like, who's actually capturing that and being able to tell the people. Because it's hard for me to put it into words. That's why I tell everybody, just come out and see it.
Yeah.
You can feel it. You can truly feel the family, the energy that we have. And, You know, I just think that the more that we can do that, bring everybody together, that this train is going to be able to be stopped.
How important is it to have a facility like this? It is the nicest football facility, because the Chargers, they're about to move into a new facility. The Rams are in a transitional USC. Like, it is by far the nicest football facility in California. How has this helped you?
A ton.
Yeah.
Huge. Because you have to have things to combat different things.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a stadium on campus.
Yeah.
But we play at the Rose Bowl. This kind of combats that, because, like you said, other people don't really have this type of building and that you can do everything inside. Mm-hmm. You know? I think our players are truly blessed. The food that they get, the dorms that they live in, this building that they get to come to every day. So, you know, they value our academics very high.
Yeah.
It's the number one public institute, but I think they did a good job at making the athletic part just as successful as school.
The Rose Bowl's improved a lot since you played, and it will continue to improve as it goes into being a host venue for the Olympics. How big is that to let them know? I mean, that's like one of the, if not the most storied places to play football. How much is that when you say, hey, you going out the tunnel is a big deal here?
It's huge.
Yeah.
You know, because it's stuff that kids' parents have seen.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's just something that you want to be a part of, you know? Like, people are like, oh, the Rose Bowl is so far, but it's the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, like, it speaks for itself. Nobody else stadium has a name like that just jumps at you like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you hear Rose Bowl, you think history.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing that comes with it. So I just want to get it to when you hear Rose Bowl, you're thinking UCLA Bruins.
Yeah.
All the time, you know, and we're going to get us there.
Well, I want to ask you about, you know Los Angeles well, and so this is a challenge that a lot of the professional teams have, certainly the pro football team have, because when you played in college, there was no pro football. So for 21 years, like, people were Packers fans or Bills fans or whatever. I did talk to Chargers players about this, and they're like, we don't care. As long as the stands are, like, full, as a competitor, like, that means something. Like, it's – and I – we'll see. I think the stands will be full because you're going to have people from all over the country the first year in the Big Ten, whatever. How much, like, I don't know. I think the fact that the stands will be packed this season will get the players fired up. And then you want to quiet the opposing fans. You want your fans to get going. What's your thoughts? Again, first season in the Big Ten, but I think that Rose Bowl is going to be packed every home game.
I think we have enough buzz right now that a lot of people are going to come out to the
Rose Bowl. Yeah.
At least give us an opportunity to show them something, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's the only thing that we need. Just give us an opportunity to show you what kind of product we're putting out on the field. And that's going to make you want to be involved in. But that's why I have a lot of this stuff open. So people are invested into the program. Because if you don't know something, you might not want to be involved in it.
Yeah.
You can't come out here and see it. You might not want to be involved in it. So I just try to open things up so people can see it. Try to get to know the players on a personal level. And then you're a little bit more invested, and now you want to come.
Yeah. This is a, and I say this with all love and respect as a Los Angeles sports fan, it's a kind of a fair weather town. So I always say the script can flip very quickly. And I remember your freshman year, this was a UCLA football town going into that last game of the year, Pac-12 champions, undefeated. So you know that. You know that, like, the kids, like, will get that jerseys going. They'll get having experienced that firsthand. This is not something that you're going to bring. Like, you'll bring back maybe some of your teammates, but you felt this, telling them that that's attainable. What was that moment like, and how much would it mean for you to get that back here?
I know our players probably tired of me talking about when I was playing, but they always say, like, man, coach, we wanted, like, how it was when you played, mm-hmm. you know? We just got to put a good product out there.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know, if you put a good product out, they will come. It's not the distance of it doesn't matter. As long as you're playing good ball, people will come out there, you know? And I think we're doing a good job of getting the momentum of people getting behind us, and hopefully the spring game puts it over the top, and then we just get ready for summer and go from there.
You said this before, you're the CEO of this company. Now it's a business, as you know, name, image, and likeness. You are uniquely positioned in the epicenter of the sports and entertainment world. World Cup's coming, Olympics coming, the Oscars, the Grammys. I mean, really, like any kid, like, what do you want to do? We can make it happen for you. Again, some coaches, that's not their cup of tea. How much do you realize, like, tell me what you want to do. You want to do music? You want to do entertainment? You want to, like, obviously you need to play. How much will you lean on the great storied history and where you guys are in Los Angeles?
A lot.
Yeah.
You have to. You'd be stupid not to take advantage of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of Bruins in different fields of stuff. So let's give them access. Let's use these guys. Let's get them around. You know, Matt Barnes, he's always like, you can use my platform anytime you want.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, just let me know. I got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of support you get here at UCLA. So it's the sky's the limit for us. You know, we're changing things. We're trending in the right direction. And it's just going how I want it to go. I'm just excited.
Last couple. Can you speak on culture? Again, I think a lot of people, like, I was at practice the other day, and they're like, you know, who's here, who's not? And I feel like, I think you're like, who wants to be here? Like, I'm not going to, like, I'll try to sell you, but, like, I'm not going to, like, oversell you. How big is culture, and, like, how much do you want to roll with, like, the guys that want to be here?
It's huge about the guys that want to be here, because if you want to be here, that means that you're run through a wall.
Yeah.
You have a level of, you know, I'm into this. It's hard if somebody doesn't want to be a part of the program to get them to buy in. And then one person carries a two. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he might take somebody with him. But I think as long as you're up front with these kids and, you know, coaching them hard every day and allowing them to, not even allowing them, but just treating them fairly, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
It's a very tough sport. Like we said earlier, recruiting is huge.
Yeah.
It plays a huge role in this. And I was just excited, you know, going into the Big Ten for the first time. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
You know, we get to play new teams with new stadiums. Like, this is going to be exciting. You know?
You're a competitor, and I see the USC, and it's like, listen, like, that's the best rivalry, I think. Speak to that, because I think the country's going to see that. I think you guys will go into the Big Ten. Yes, they'll talk about Ohio State, Michigan, but USC, UCLA, right, that's right there.
It's a big rivalry.
Yeah.
You know? I was just in there with some eighth graders.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, well, what about USC? I just asked them, what was the score last year? That's it. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
I don't. Scoreboard is the score.
Yeah.
Oh, well, exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's even with the little kids in me. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it was fun banter, but it's just a very competitive. We're so close.
Yeah.
You know, most of the kids over there. Either played on teams with them, played against them when he was younger, played on teams with them when he was younger. So it's a lot of families are split.
Yeah.
UCLA, SC. So it's just a true family affair. You know, you can get out there and play against somebody that you might have called your brother a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but I just love that it's a true rivalry.
Yeah.
And it's not just during the season. It's year round.
Yeah.
I just love it. I'm excited for the rest of the world to see.
The Jordan brand connection, I think, is great. I mean, when kids, I mean, sometimes, like, they really pick on, you know, because of the shoes and because of what they wear. How big is that connection?
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we had a different brand before, and that was tough.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
Exactly. That was tough. So this speaks a little bit more to us being in LA.
Yeah.
Just the market value. You know, kids love Jordan. That's why we put it all on the field.
Yeah.
Kids love it.
Kids watching football now, the signature team is the Chiefs, and they want to be Patrick Mahomes, and they want to be Travis Kelce, and you got the coach who was their coach. How big is he? You can hear him, by the way, everywhere you go, so it's amazing. How has he helped?
A lot.
Yeah.
Coach Bieniemy is amazing. Somebody I lean on. It was just great to be able to get such a veteran coach to come in here and help out with the program. And, you know, the sky's the limit. He holds the offense to an accountability level that's unmatched. You know, he wants perfect.
All right, that was UCLA head football coach Deshaun Foster. Again, you know, what he's done with the program has been amazing. You can feel it as soon as you walk into the Wasserman Football Center. The players are pumped. The staff is pumped. The coaches are pumped. So we'll see how this season goes. First season in the Big Ten Conference. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again
next week. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram. Now,
how about Captain Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Luc Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Captain Crunch.
Smells like pine. She said, get out the chat room and clean mine.
Glad stretch, feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.